Good evening. I give you my peace. Before we begin, I would like to once again welcome Akwos to the team. I spoke with Father this past Wednesday, and this is what he had to say. My dear team, I too would like to welcome Akwos to the team as well. We are now complete. All team members are selected and will continue to be trained. Through the past month's meetings, I have dwelled on my son's announcement. This will not happen in today's meeting. I have said enough. Now all of you just need to believe and trust me. To the spouses, I wish to speak now. I know that I have told you that your role is to support the guardians in your life. There is more. Yes, in the future, you will encourage, love, and even guide them when they are down or feeling lost. Each pairing I have created for you plays a role. In other words, the two of you I placed together for a reason. You both have gifts and talents, not just the guardians. Tell me, in the past, have not all of you at times been a counselor, peacemaker, and problem solver? Yes, you have. This will continue into the future for all of you. I now unlock gifts within all of the spouses. It too is important that all of you meditate as well. I will now extend to you and open the path I allow my son and his guardians to use to come and see me. Yes, some of you do not know how to meditate. Then you may ask your spouse to teach you or use my son's classes that he has online. I look forward to spending time with you and seeing you soon. Now, Chief Guardians, back to business. My son will share with you my plan that will unfold after evil is loosed on July 1st. Perhaps you have asked yourselves, if evil is bound, why do I still wrestle with my own thoughts and desires? Yes, the spirits are not bound, and they will always test you. The other thoughts that you all battle are born out of the shortcomings I have laid in you. That is where most of your weaknesses lie. My sons, in the past, have told you that I have also given you everything you will need to overcome these weaknesses, and they are correct. Every day is a constant battle of thoughts. It is a constant battle to quiet your mind, to not judge, control your emotions, and to work on becoming an overcomer. Some days you feel you have failed me and feel you will never be good enough and you should just give up. My dear children, I have seen all of you succeed. I have hugged all of you on the day Jesus comes to claim the bride. All I am asking of you is that you try a little harder to not swear. I will bring this subject up once again. Your language is a direct reflection of what lies in your heart. It is offensive to me to hear it and then watch you as you do stupid things afterwards. Yes, I will say stupid things. Some of you, as the saying goes, fly off the handle and lose control. The profanity that you weave is outrageous. Or in simple passing conversations, you swear. Please stop it. Beloved, if the bride were an easy task, do you not think Jesus would have come by now? It takes a lifetime of fight and struggle, of hearing my word and heeding it and following through with all I ask. There is no quick fix, no easy button to push. Faith is a path that leads a soul back to where it all started, my heart, my longing for a family, and my desire to share my kingdom of peace for all eternity. This world is so lost, so filled with evil, so corrupt. Most of evil is currently bound, and yet man still works against one another. This breaks my heart more than you will ever know. Parents, when your children fight, how does that make you feel? Magnify that a millionfold, and you may start to understand what I feel daily. My dear children, I'm sorry, beloved, oh, hang on a minute. Sorry, I just tried to click my screen a little bigger and now I lost where I am. There I am. Okay. I created all of you. Let me say that again. All of you to help me with my plan of salvation. No one on this team is greater or smaller than anyone else I have created. You all carry an important part that bears my defined tasks. Number one, protect the bride of Christ. Number two, defend the apostles' doctrine. Number three, help bring the bride home. You spouses mesh together with the guardians I have paired you with, like two hands folding together. You are stronger when you two are together. When one is weak, the other holds you up. I know that at times, each of you get down, get angry. It is so very important that you both do not do this at the same time. One must be up when the other is down. If you are both angry, then you both will break apart. Be aware of this, please. Now, what of Karl Orlovsky? He had dinner at Q's home today. I will say that it was filled with many interesting topics of conversation. Karl got to see the Waters family in a different light than he has seen them in the past. He saw their faith in me. He heard the love and passion they carry for me, my children, and they glazed over the topic of Triland a bit. I am still softening Karl's heart. My plan will now move forward. Be patient and watch. Beloved, if you have not learned this about me, I always get my way. Mankind certainly has not learned this about me. Dark times are coming, and they continue to not heed my warnings to change. Therefore, I have focused this meeting on a subject of change. I do not create a plan of failure. I created a plan of success. All it takes is work. I am once again admonishing all of you to change. Change the way you view your life and families. I do not challenge you within your day because I am punishing you. Do you know what I am saying? Some of you tell me that you feel I am torturing you or withholding good days from you, or that you would like to experience all the good that others in the world experience daily. I can tell you that there is not one soul that has been in this world that has only had good days. Faith must be tested and tried. Am I to allow a group of self-centered, entitled, spoiled children into my kingdom? You must be like Jesus. You will be like your Father, and again, that takes work and sacrifice. Deny yourselves your desires and what you want for my sake, and I will bring you home. It is not as complicated as you think at times. Some of you have health issues, financial struggles, and battles of faith. Do you think that I am blind and not paying attention? Have you done what I have asked of you? Really tried? You can answer that question for yourself. I hold all of you to a higher standard than I hold the rest of this world and church. Why? Because we have spent more time together. Tell me, who gets a letter read to them monthly that is born out of my heart? Only you. Only you. It is because we need to be together. I feed you a little extra because the strain on you is a little greater. I take care of you. We need each other. I have promised all of you that I will always be with you. I will remind you of the watchword for this year. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Never forget this. I am always with you. I am always watching over you, and not in some creepy stalking fashion. Yes, I felt it was time to lighten the mood. Beloved, know this one thing. My love for you will never change. My hand of grace will always hold you, and my undying need for a family will never cease. You were chosen out of billions of souls from all time periods. I focused on you, formed you, created you, gave you gifts unlike anyone else, and placed you within this time now to help me finish a plan I wrote trillions and trillions of years ago. Does that not make your head explode? Are you now grasping all that I have been trying to share with you for the past few minutes? This is a big deal, and there is no one else on this planet that can do what all of you have been tasked to do. Wake up. The time is shorter than you know. Evil will be unleashed on this world in a manner they have never known, and you, chief guardians, with your spouses and families, will be there to protect, help, and teach all of mankind. I love all of you. Does anyone have any questions or comments? I can tell you that Father gave me this message on Wednesday. I will roll back to where he spoke of Karl Orlovsky. I spoke to Q on our way home before the meeting, and he said to me that many times he wanted to bring me up in the conversation, but felt that the time wasn't right. So he waited and thought there'll be another opportunity. But he said for the first time, the Apostle Orlovsky actually opened up and shared with him many experiences he had with things that he has actually seen. And then Q said he then shared with him opportunities and experiences that he had of things he saw from eternity and different experiences he's had. And so where Father explained on Wednesday to me in this message to us, it actually happened. That always is a confirmation for me that I'm not making this crap up and Father knows what he's doing. Any questions?
So the they had their meeting last Sunday, or he was at his house last Sunday?
No, he had a lunch with him today. He was Holland this morning for church,
okay.
And Q invited him.
Okay.
Yeah, and Q invited him to have lunch at his house this afternoon, and he did.
Okay.
And they had a really nice time. And then Q said for the first time since all this stuff happened, he actually felt comfortable. He didn't feel weird with the apostle. He said the apostle said many times during their time together that he doesn't know everything and that we just need to trust our Heavenly Father. He also clarified the misquote of the chief apostle when he said that Father could forgive our sins anytime he wants. The part that was forgotten was where the chief apostle then finished it by saying, it is important that we are actually in his house to hear his word when he does forgive our sins.
Mm.
So Q said to him, I think you need to make sure that you reiterate that to the brothers because it's caused a lot of confusion. And I said to him, I believe that Satan stoked this fire for a while to back up the naysayers in this world that say you don't need the apostles' ministry and Father can forgive anybody's sins if he feels like it.
Well, also the technical glitch where there were how many congregations didn't have their sins forgiven because the local minister didn't stop the audio and, you know, perform the absolution and all that.
Right.
From the last try to, or from the district. So I think in a way someone was hoping they were recovering their, you know what, that's been bothering me ever since.
Well, and so he acknowledged the fact that you have to hear the absolution, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, they have to hear it.
Okay, good, because that wasn't settling with me, the idea that, I mean, God can do whatever he wants, but to tell people that, you know, that they don't have to hear this absolution, it just never sat right with me, so...
It's not.
For sharing that.
I will also share with you, I was having a horrible time the week of my birthday. And when I met with Father that morning, I apologized to him with the way I was acting that week. And he looks at me and he says, I forgive your sins, boys. And I double took a look at him and he goes, okay, let me explain myself. I said, okay. He said, what you just did was atone for your sins. He said, but when you're in service tomorrow and you actually hear those words, then they will be forgiven. Okay? I said, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, because you brought up earlier, I'm sorry.
It's okay, go ahead.
Last year you had brought up the difference between atonement and trying to get immediate forgiveness for our actions and not letting it go a week. So I've been really trying to acknowledge, and that makes sense to where there's an atonement versus a forgiveness. So thank you for that clarity.
You're welcome. It's important, my dear team, that the minute you and I make a mistake, we come to Father and we atone for it. We have to admit to Him that we know that we did wrong. We need to tell Him that we're going to try and not do it again. And then we need to make the effort to not do it again. And that's why Father brought up swearing again. And I'll be honest, I have really made a conscious effort to not, to be mindful of my conduct and my nature. And even where Father put in this message to us, that the reason why you and I struggle so much with our own thoughts is because that lies in the weaknesses He gave you and I. Have you ever heard that before? I sat there for a second. I went, you're finally sharing things with us in a greater detail.
Say it again.
You're admitting
it.
You're admitting it. No, that was amazing.
I'll read it to you. He said, perhaps you have always asked yourselves, if evil is bound, why do I still wrestle with my own thoughts and desires? Yes, the spirits are bound, and they will always test you. The other thoughts that you are battling are born out of the shortcomings I have laid in you. That is where most of your weaknesses lie.
And so in addition to asking for atonement, asking for strength and courage and discernment and help with these innate weaknesses.
Correct.
So it's his fault he's like this.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He's admitting it. No, this is a super, super helpful conversation. Yeah.
Yes. Because Father, like he emphasized, you must be like Jesus and you will be like your Father to enter into the kingdom. I will also point out something that struck my heart when Father said this. I'm looking for it. Faith is a path that leads a soul back to where all this started. My heart, my longing for a family, and my desire to share my kingdom of peace for all eternity. Have you ever heard him put it that way?
Oh,
I have not.
Cool.
I have not. His biggest message to us today, my dear team, is change. We have to change. And we are given an advantage over everybody else on this planet because of this time that he spends with us. And that's why he said he has a greater expectation for us. So all he's asking all of us, including me, is to try harder, to give up our own nature, to be a better example of faith. And when that crap hits the fan and my brother says, knocks it over, you know, that's a lot of crap because it takes a lot of crap to knock something over. You maintain your tongue and your thoughts. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Because I'll tell you, he and I have had many a conversation where he said to me he was furious and angry and disappointed, but he never flew off the handle, as Father said tonight. He never verbalized or allowed a thought to take him down the path that you and I dance down daily. I'll say that. Because the church will constantly say, hang on, the church will constantly say from the altar, we need to be like Jesus. But they don't define what that means. And I'm sure that everybody sitting in the pew has their own identification of what they believe that means. Firstly, it is to be the ultimate servant, to want to give of everything you have for the sake of somebody else. That is the true definition of who Jesus is, and to control your emotions, which Father has been telling us for many years, to not sin. That is what it is. Not an easy task. Yes, Brilliance.
I was going to say, I think you hit the nail on the head, because if, to your point, we're often told what we need to do without maybe you know, two other additional points. Number one, what does that what really mean, which you just defined, and then two, the how to get there, right? You know, if these are innate weaknesses, so even if now that we have a greater understanding of where we need to be, what that looks like, you know, the how to get there is I don't think often discussed, you know, over the altar. And, you know, overcoming is different for each and every one of us.
Right.
Like you said, some may battle with swearing, some may battle with insecurity, some may battle, you know what I mean? It goes on and on for our innate weaknesses. And, you know, me being a stubborn, viperous human being, as it's described in the Bible, you know, I'm often asking, like even when I can identify something, right, because I can't change something I don't acknowledge, but even once I can identify it, I think the hard part, and we can do hard, but I think the difficult part is working with Father or teammates or, you know, scripture, whatever is helpful in prayer to figure out, okay, so how do I do that? So even when I know I'm doing something wrong, how do I get to the, you know, how do I master that aspect of my innate weakness?
Correct. I thought it was nice that he also pointed out to the spouses that they play just an important role as the rest of us, that they're also going to be teaching. They've been spending a lot of time with us. We all have the opportunity to teach and to share our experiences. And because Father's given us a little more information than most, people are going to look to us to give them a little more help. Again, we are not taking the place of the apostles' ministry because we can't. That's a specified, specific role that they play in raising the bride of Christ. We are merely going to help along. That's the third part of Father's task for us, help bring the bride home. Protecting her is the biggest thing. And when Father made the statement after his last paragraph of wake up, that's a call to arms, my dear team. I know that because evil has been bound, everybody's been kind of lax. You've been kind of letting your lead take the point on different things. You've been not meditating as much as you normally would when we're on high alert. I'm here to knock on your door and tell you it's time to wake up. We can't just sit back on our laurels anymore. I will also say this. I know for a fact that all of you and your family members have been clawing through a lot of garbage. I'm sorry, a lot of wonderful tests of faith that Father has decided to try all of us with. I'm trying better to not talk down about things because Father shakes his head when I make those comments. Every single thing that you and I live through is for our own personal perfection. Your tailor-made shortcomings are not mine, and you don't have mine to bear. But what Father did for all of us is he laid within us the shortcomings that he knew you and I could fight and overcome. That's why he said, I have seen your success. I had to almost break down a little bit when he said, I have hugged you already on the day that my son comes to get the bride. Do you understand that, team? I hate that word. My friends, do you understand that? Do you know how big a cheerleader Father and Jesus is for you and me? Do we value the moment, this hour? A lot of you were late, okay? I'm not going to beat a dead horse. But he even made the point. Who gets a letter read to them once a month? Are we now taking everything for granted? Are we just thinking to ourselves, this is not a big deal? He actually spelled out how big a deal it is. Again, I'm not beating a dead horse. This is huge for him to take the time out to spend with you and I. Please value it. Please do not disrespect Father. I think that the biggest problem we have in our church currently is that we've lost complete respect for Father, for the dignity and the honor that is due him when we come into his house, and that he has now spent who knows how much time tailor-making a service for every single soul who actually shows up, including those from eternity. So where you and I can't even comprehend the billions of souls that may be standing around at some point in time listening to a servant serve, Father has. In every single one of those, he promised, I will give you something that will help you overcome. I will give you what you need to get you through the week. That's why you and I get a week. I'm jealous of every other country that has weekly services on Wednesday because they get a little extra. If you think about it, they get extra strength in the communion. They get an extra word. They get extra help. That's going to be coming back to the States. I promise you that. I'm stepping off my soapbox. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add about Father's message? Don't all jump in at once.
I don't have anything to really share about the message per se.
Okay.
I guess it's directed towards a part of it. But I've noticed this week, well, one of the things I've tried doing this past week was, as my emotions start to skyrocket and I start to get mad or I start to even just judge someone else, what I've done is I've snapped myself into the center of my mind and just tried to look at my physical body sitting where I'm sitting or standing where I'm standing and think to myself, why are you doing that? And it stops that thought dead in its tracks. It keeps me from continuing on with that thought. So it's just a little tidbit that kind of helped me this week kind of work towards all that, I guess.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's going to help a lot.
All right. Starlight went into two realms, retribution and rapture. I've asked her to just share a little bit with everybody as to what the gist of these realms was. Starlight?
Sorry, I had to get myself off of mute with my new phone. I was lost. So the first realm I went into was retribution, and that one was, if you remember, we spoke about that the last realm that I went into was vengeance. And so I thought it was interesting that, you know, the retribution realm kind of went hand in hand after that. But it was completely different, and for the fact that it was actually as interesting when I went in, it was actually a hopeful realm, which I thought was very different than the vengeance realm, but yet they're kind of the same thing. So but the difference between this realm is that the souls in this realm, they were, you know, seeking at one point the retribution, hence the name, but they know that, you know, they're in process of learning and understanding and moving forward so that hopefully, you know, that they'll be able to move forward. And they have been listening to, you know, Father's word. And so now hopefully now that this realm is open, that they will be able to, you know, move forward and do whatever, you know, they need to do to be able to move, you know, to move forward. So when I said that they were able to hear Father's word, at times he opens, you know, and I think we've talked about this in the past, at times he allows it that all souls, even those in the realms that are, that the doors, you know, aren't open to, he still allows the word to be heard to these souls. So when praying for them, I'm not going to tell you exactly what you need to pray for, but when I went in there, you know, what struck me was that there was this, you know, this hope, you know, so maybe, you know, they need strength and understanding and all of that in order for them to be able to move forward. So hopefully you'll be able to, you know, be able to pray for this realm. The second realm that I went into, it was rapture, and I wasn't quite sure. So once again, I'm Googling away, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is, you know, rapture. That's when, you know, Jesus comes and we all ascend into the sky, and go with him. But what this realm was, and there's two parts to it. the very first part when I went in, it was souls that have found like an absolute peace about themselves or found happiness, you know, within themselves or within our Father, you know, within a religion or you know, denomination or whatnot. So these souls, and when I went in there, I was pleasantly surprised that they were, you know, they were peaceful, they were happy, which now you ask, well, why was this, you know, realm closed? Well, as I went deeper into the realm, there was a second door that was inside of this particular realm, and I'm like, okay, this is different. So I went through and I opened that door, went through. Now this is the second part of the rapture realm. This one, this portion was filled with souls who were seeking something to make themselves happy, whether it may be, you know, some type of addiction, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever, some worldly something to find their absolute, you know, happiness. So the interesting part is that the souls that were in the first portion of the realm, they actually came in through into the second door. And then they were spending time in counseling and talking to the second part of the souls, which I saw it was, I was kind of confused at first because I'm like, okay, they're not our brothers and sisters. What is going on? You know, and then I had left. Well, after I had left that realm, both of the doors, and went to see Father, he had told me, kind of in our debriefing, he said, because I thought, you know, only our brothers and sisters are working in, you know, eternity and counseling and ministering to, you know, the souls. But Father had said to me, he says, even in the world that you're in now, as well as in eternity, he says, you teach so many, and your team teaches so many. He says, and those that you teach, they will take what they have learned from you, and they will help others as well. So I, with that, pray for the rapture realm. I just sort of took it as it was all happening, just because I'm not, you, just when you think you kind of know everything, which we really don't ever know everything, or some type of normalcy, something else changes within it. But it was definitely an eye-opening experience, and I would, you know, pray for both parts of the rapture realm, those who, you know, have found their happiness and their peace and whatnot, but then also those that also are struggling. That, you know, that they can find the absolute, both portions find their absolute, you know, happiness, and whatever makes them happy will be our Heavenly Father. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
In Father's message to you, he said that I would explain to you his plan for July after July 1st. I met with Father a couple weeks ago, and when I walked in, there was hundreds of chairs set up in the Grand Chamber, and I had already with me Michael, Stotharian, and Baramus. Baramus is the commander of the Warrior Brigade. And as I walked in, I turned around, and there's all these authoritative-looking angels dressed in uniforms different than I've seen in the past, and Father said to me, your generals and all the commanders are present today. And I kind of looked funny at him, and he goes, yes, we are having a meeting. I went, okay, we've never done that before. So I walked over the front, hugged Father, sat down, and then Father said, all evil is bound currently, but after July 1st, all evil is going to be loosed. He said, I don't know if I told all of you, a couple weeks ago I bound and had all of the generals of Satan's army captured and put into hell with him. And because I was having a difficult day, I decided to put Satan in solitary confinement. I actually forged a helmet and put it over him so that he can no longer use his thoughts to share any commands. He can't see anything, and he certainly can't hear anything. He's been completely now that you've got all of these generals bound and in prison, he told this group that assembled on this day, he said, after July 1st, he said, I've given the command to all of these commanders that they are to now watch Satan's forces. And if any of them decide to be ambitious and stand up and start to make their own plans outside of the normal chain of command, because we pretty much destroyed that for them, he said, we are now going to watch them closely. And then after they get their plan fabricated, before they strike, that commander will be captured, those forces will be captured as well, and that plan will be put down. He said, the reason why I'm doing that right now is because I am not ready to unleash that level of evil on this planet. There needs to be a little bit of peace during this time. So that is what is happening currently. Does anybody have any questions about that?
You cut out briefly for a little bit. Can you repeat what you said?
Okay.
Sorry.
On July 1st, it's okay. On July 1st, what?
It was at the part where you said that you forged the helmet.
Okay. Yeah. I forged the helmet for Satan. I put it on his head so he can't use thoughts anymore to communicate. I realized he was actually doing that from prison. He can't use thoughts anymore to command his forces. He can't see or hear anything, and I put him in solitary confinement. So he's completely cut off now from everybody.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. I want to reiterate, some of you are new to the team. Maybe you're not aware of this. If you're giving an energy healing or you're holding a meditation class, you can charge something for your time. We do not charge for any demon removal issues, just so you know, because I know recently I asked a number of you to step up and give healings, and a number of you actually did, so I appreciate that. And you can charge a couple bucks if you want. If you didn't, that again is your choice. I just don't want us to become taken advantage of or for granted. Or just because somebody is lazy and doesn't want to meditate, that all of a sudden now they're just going to fall back on you and me, because I know everybody's busy. We are here to help. We are not here to enable anybody. So thank you for stepping up, those that you did, to help me out when I had these healings. So very much appreciated. I will also just bring this to your attention. If I give you a task and I define a time frame when I need that information back to me, I expect you, and I'm going to say this, I expect you to follow through with it within the time frame I've given you. Recently, I asked everybody to give me back your information on your teams changing and all that, and a number of you, weeks later, I'm contacting you and asking you for this information. I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. If your boss comes to you and gives you a deadline, do you blow them off? If you're in school in your class and your teacher says, I got to have this, do they go, okay, I know you're busy, it's okay. I'm sorry. We are all busy. We all have things. And the reason why I need that information from you is because I'm trying to keep you safe and protect you. So when you didn't respond to me, you created more work for Stotharian, because then I looked at him and said, I need you to go keep an eye on this team, because they didn't report back to me. I got a lot on my plate, and holding your hands and making sure you follow through with my tasks is not one of them, okay? I'm just going to be very aggressive and abrasive here. It's tough love time, team. You've been with me for a long time. Those of you that are new, you're going to learn very quickly. If I am asking something from you, I'm not doing it because I'm being some kind of a controlled jerk. I'm trying to keep us safe and protected. Plus, Father gives me deadlines and times and asks me to complete certain things as well. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's okay. All right? So I forgive all of you. I have your information now. I need to massage the data a little bit more, and then we'll repost it, okay? All right. Still love you. Anybody have anything they'd like to add or throw in, or any experience you've had, or any solutions to any world problems that we currently are facing?
I got the world peace thing figured out, but I'm going to wait just a little bit.
Okay. You going to just give us a teaser there? Or?
When Jesus comes, that'll pretty much take care of it, right?
Okay. All right. There you go. Speaking of that guy, I had a laughing moment with him. I was driving out here, and I was trapped in that luxurious Indiana traffic that happens as you cross the border of Illinois, Indiana, and we sat there deadlocked, and he was sitting on the passenger side, and I looked at him, and I said, did you have this problem in your time when all the camels kind of bunched together and kind of backed up? And he went, oh, brother, you have no idea. He goes, and then when I couldn't find my coin purse, oh, you have no idea. Yeah. He's a nutball. Anyway, okay. Our next meeting is on a Friday. The reason why I had to do that is because my bride and I will actually be flying back from our honeymoon when I had this plan scheduled meeting on that Sunday. So it's May 12th, 6 p.m., just like we hold all of our meetings Central Time, so 7 p.m. Right. Eastern
you
Time.
You already moved it to the 5th.
No, I moved it to May 12th.
I just had an email that you moved it from the 7th to the 5th because of Mother's Day.
No, I don't believe so.
I'm looking at it right here.
Let me check. I have an email on it.
All right.
Sorry. I'm looking at it right now.
My calendar.
My whole meeting schedule went away on my calendar. That's why I'm questioning everything. Everything's gone. All my redundant, even my business calendar, this meeting today was gone. I don't know what happened. My whole year is gone. So I'm trying to go through your emails. I could have sworn you moved it.
Mother's Day is the 14th. Go ahead, Fred.
You said you need to move the date of our May meeting from Sunday, May 7th to Friday, May 12th at 6 p.m.
Thank you.
May 12th. There you go. Thank you.
Day, okay. And I don't want to push the meeting out too far.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
I stand corrected.
Okay. Scaring me there. Okay. Anything else?
Just a quick shout out to Fred, because I don't know if I had told you this yet or not, Fred, but thank you for fixing the site for the mobile users. It works really well now, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have asked Nuke to pray with me, and if that's all we have, I'll pray with you. Okay. Kind, loving Father, we come before you on this day and we say thank you. We appreciate the time that you spend with us. The message that you give us is always timely. And sometimes, Father, we sit in awe of how much you are hitting the nail on the head when you address things in our lives, but you are our Father. And sometimes we feel disappointed with how we've acted during the week or things that we have said. And still, though we feel guilty, Father, you still pull us close to you and you forgive us. You give us the strength to move forward. And today we received your word, and we are very appreciative of the time you have spent with us now in this hour. See the hearts that are gathered here and the needs that they have. Many people have health concerns, as you've already said. You are aware of every concern that you have laid into us and every shortcoming. So, Father, we ask on everyone's behalf that you will please be kind to give us a little extra strength. And where you feel the need to test our faith, then give us, Father, the courage to be mindful of that before we lose control. Is that possible, that you will remind us of this conversation you've had with us before we go and fly off the handle? It is difficult recently with the pressure that's been placed on all of us in our natural lives that, Father, sometimes it becomes overwhelming. And we've said to our brother Jesus many times, could you please go explain to Father what this feels like? Why we act this way because of flesh? How come this hurts so much? Why we're failing him so much when this happens? And you are kind to forgive us, and we appreciate that. Thank you for chiding us on. We look forward to the day where our apostle will then accept all of us for who we are, and that the announcement will take place when our chief apostle comes. We pray for that day for the sake of your work, for the future of the bride of Christ, for the needs that rest in every heart here, Father. We lay them before you and pray that you will please give ear when the time is right. For our brothers and sisters, in eternity, all the realms that we are aware of and those that we are not, for all those who have recently just entered in, for those who were liberated today and were able to come to the service, what a beautiful day it was. Thank you, Father, for our families, our extended families. For any care and concern, Father, we've forgotten, then I ask that you will please cover it now. We lay everything in your hands. Again, according to your will, we ask these things and know how much we love you, Father. Thank you. Amen.
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 Nuke.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together for this conference call. We know that sometimes it can be difficult to hear words of discipline that may have come forth in the meeting this evening, but we know that it is with love that those words come forth. Dear Father, please help us to overcome these human qualities that you've given us. And please, Father, open the hearts of mankind in the coming months. Allow everything to go smoothly with the announcement of Triland. And dear Father, please continue to show us all your love and give us your peace and your guidance. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Have
Thank
a great
you.
Week.
Have a good week.
You too.
Love you guys.
Thanks. Love you
guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.